Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, the era when Israel can impose its conditions is over. This is just one of the comments that the leader of the Lebanese resistance movement, Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, has said about Tel Aviv. This on the 12th anniversary of the Israeli war on Lebanon and a time of awakening by the Israelis that no longer can they do whatever they want in a region without paying a price.
To the sound of musical band and cheering crowds, Lebanon celebrated the 12th anniversary of the end of the 2006 Israeli war on Lebanon. Hezbollah Secretary General Sayed Hassan Nasrallah reiterated the stance of the resistance, which remains unaltered, but also inferred that Israel's strength has withered since that day.
It's important that the enemy knows the accuracy of these words well. Yes, the resistance in Lebanon today, with its arms, capabilities, personnel, expertise, and experience, and also with its faith, determination, and courage, is stronger than ever before.
Nasrallah noted that Israel has been rebuilding its military capabilities and plans since 2006 due to the presence of a real and capable force in Lebanon that represents a central threat to it. He said U.S.-Israel plots to create chaos in Syria have been disastrous after their failure against the resistance in Lebanon. Lebanese people marked the day as a grand victory over Israel. They believe that Israel was incapable of enforcing any conditions on them despite 33 days of nonstop shelling on the country.
I'm proud that I'm from Lebanon, the country from which the resistance fighters were born. Thanks to them, we're today celebrating the 12th anniversary of this victory.
If tomorrow or after tomorrow the war begins again, our men are ready to it. And thanks for Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of this victory. And each anniversary we will be here with our children and the children of our children.
Lebanese resistance movement also paid a tribute to Yemeni children killed in recent Saudi air raid on a school bus in Saada province. Nasrallah sent his condolences to the families of the victims, saying the killer is the same, but the blood of the innocent children will be victorious.
The 2006 war has become one of the most emblematic events in the history of the conflicts with the Israeli regime. The hybrid war tactics used by Hezbollah fighters to deter the Israeli ground troops has earned respect from both friends and enemies. Maryam Saleh, Press TV, Beirut.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program. Out of Beirut, political analyst Mr. Adi Rizr, and out of London, journalist Mr. Richard Millett. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in London. And Richard Millett, well, the invincible army, this is the way Israel basically marketed itself prior to 2006. Did its war with Hezbollah eradicate this belief?
I mean, we're talking about 12 years ago, Marzia. Hezbollah, since then, has strained its resources in Syria, helping Assad massacre hundreds of thousands of innocent Syrian civilians. It's a very unpopular army now. It's taken over Lebanon. It's got a stranglehold on Lebanon. And the main enemy, really, of Hezbollah now is Donald Trump. He's imposed sanctions on Iran, Turkey, Russia. Hezbollah is a puppet of Iran, and it's quite laughable now for, you know, this Hassan Nasrallah Nazi-type figure to show, like, pretend all this bravado and the strength of Hezbollah. I mean, give it a few years when these sanctions hit, and Iran, you know, hasn't got the money, you know, anymore to give to Hezbollah, and the rockets will start rotting, and they'll have all the parts that are missing, and they won't be able to go to war against Israel. I mean, they'll be able to cause damage.
You didn't answer the question, Richard, but okay. The question I asked was basically because it was always said by the Israelis themselves, of course, that basically the army was invincible, and it appears in 2006 that belief came to an end. I was asking your take on that. But let me pose it to Ali Riz. Ali, you've heard Richard and talking about actually that Hezbollah is no longer popular and getting weaker by the day. Of course, many would say that it's the opposite. Your take on the current status of Hezbollah?
Well, I'd refer to the statement of Israeli officials themselves. If you heard Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah's speech yesterday, he even quoted an Israeli, high-ranking Israeli military official. This Israeli military official himself said that Hezbollah is the strongest army in the region after Israel itself. So that's not Hezbollah speaking. It's not, you know, a pro-Hezbollah analyst speaking. That's a high-ranking Israeli military officer speaking, so I think that's testimonial to what their reality is. As to the fact that Hezbollah, I heard your guest saying that Hezbollah is helping in butchering people in Syria. What Hezbollah is doing in Syria and what the Syrian army is doing, what Iran is doing, is it's fighting the Wahhabi Al-Qaeda ISIS terrorists, who, by the way, pose a big threat to Western capitals, including London, where your guest is currently sitting. So I think that Western capitals, I think, owe a favor. They owe a favor to Hezbollah and to Iran and to Russia and to the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, because these are the powers which are taking the fight against Al-Qaeda terrorists, against ISIS, against the Wahhabis. Another factor I'd like to mention is that also Israeli officials themselves, this is not me saying it, Israeli officials themselves have said that Hezbollah has gained valuable experience in offensive warfare because of its participation in the war in Syria. Mm-hmm. Previously, Hezbollah was only focused on defensive warfare, trying to defend against Israeli incursions.
Okay.
Now Hezbollah, because of Syria, is now a very capable offensive force. So
all right, stay with me, Ali. Let me get back to Richard. Stay with me, Ali. Richard, what about that? You heard Ali Riz and making a couple of points. Your take on that, that basically, when he talked about, for example, Hezbollah and fighting against the terrorists in Syria, fighting against Daesh, fighting against al-Nusra Front, it is interesting that those who say that they are against terrorism sitting in Western capitals, but on the other hand, entities like Hezbollah that have been fighting against these terrorists, they're actually then attacked by these Western capitals, whether from a financial aspect or politically, economically. Why is that the case? If really, for example, entities like the United States, like the UK, where you are, really are against terrorism, and Hezbollah has been fighting against Daesh, has been fighting against al-Nusra Front, has been fighting against all the terrorist groups inside of Syria. So it's interesting that if you really are against terrorism, that why these capitals wouldn't be allied, actually, with Hezbollah. Your take, Richard.
I don't know, Marzia, whether I accept the premise of your question. I don't think Hezbollah has necessarily been fighting what you perceive to be terrorists. I mean, America has done most of the fighting against Islamic State with its air power. And Hezbollah has been fighting mainly against supporting Assad to try to retain Assad in power. That's it's been fighting anyone that threatens that power of Assad, whereas the West has been fighting ISIS to get rid of ISIS, which is done to an extent quite well in Syria. There's only pockets of ISIS left. Now, unfortunately, Assad's still in power, and Assad is now moving onto Idlib, having destroyed all the resistance near the Golan Heights in the southwest of Syria. And that's been Hezbollah's main objective,
okay,
is to keep Assad in power.
Well, that's quite mind-boggling, Richard. I mean, because if you look at all the articles and proof on the ground, I'm just going to throw that to Ali. Ali, your take on what Richard has said.
Well, Well, that's basically Israeli language, which we just heard. That's the exact language which is used by Israel and, to a lesser extent, Saudi Arabia. I'd like to point out that even Western officials, American reports, have recognized the fact that Hezbollah is fighting al-Nusra and is fighting also al-Qaeda. This has been said, as I said, by American officials, by Western officials. They even recognize this. So I think that what your guest is saying is just echoing the stances made by people like Benjamin Netanyahu and his Saudi ally Mohammed bin Salman, the Saudi crown prince.
Well, Richard, what about that? Because Said Hassan Nasr.
It's clear,
sorry,
you know,
Ali, go ahead. We
Hezbollah
lost you. We lost you for a
terrorist,
second.
And I'd also like to draw your attention to something. What I was going to say is that if you look at all the attacks which have taken place on Western countries, the terrorist attacks, if you look at September 11, if you look at the attacks in Manchester, if you look at other attacks in Europe, in Germany, for example, they all bear the hallmarks of Saudi-inspired Wahhabists. So it makes me wonder why don't the Europeans, the Westerners, indeed unite in order to fight the real source of terrorism, which is that Wahhabi ideology. You know, Hezbollah, Iran, others have never gone ahead, posed no such terrorist threat to the West. And I think that the West has to come to realize that, you know, who their real enemy is, who their real existential enemy is, and not just copy the policies of Israel and Saudi Arabia.
Well, what about that, Richard? Because we have seen an alliance of Saudi Arabia, the United States, Israel, especially when we look at the situation taking place in Syria. We saw the U.S. on the ground. We saw, of course, fighting against the Syrian government. We also saw the Israelis actually nursing back to health some of the terrorists. So what is it there? Why would these entities, of course, not Saudi Arabia, being that it comes from that, the Wahhabi ideology coming out of Saudi Arabia, but why then, let's start with the United States, actually then be in this very odd alliance when one would think that actually Saudi Arabia would be quite a threat to the United States, to the West, in looking at the various terrorist attacks that have taken place by Wahhabis there?
Well, Saudi Arabia is reforming. The Americans are in talks with the Saudis quite closely. Saudi Arabia is undergoing internal reform, and the Americans are also trying to train the Saudis to be better at, you know, fighting the terrorists, for example, in Yemen. And I know there's this terrible bus attack that has gone on, which was horrific, done by Saudi Arabia, but they're fighting Iran. And let's face it, Hezbollah are a terrorist organization that have hit innocent Westerners all over the world. They've slammed a Jewish communal center in Buenos Aires in 1994, the AMIA building, they hit a consulate in Buenos Aires. They've hit innocent Israelis all throughout the world. Hezbollah have blown up American soldiers in Africa. So to say that, you know, why shouldn't we be friendly with Hezbollah because Hezbollah are doing nice things in Syria? Well, no, Hezbollah is serving Iran, which wants to keep Assad in power so it can do what to Syria,
what they've done to Lebanon. Richard, let me just jump in here. You're saying something. Let me go back to actually Donald Trump. Prior to becoming president, when he was running for the presidency, he himself actually said, why are we actually fighting against Iran and Hezbollah in Syria? Because actually they are fighting the terrorists. So even it came from Donald Trump, of course, prior to getting to power and perhaps being told that he could not say that. But Ali, your take now on what Richard has said.
Well, the remarks about Hezbollah hitting Western targets is completely false, and there is no backup whatsoever, no support to that claim that Hezbollah has hit Western targets. The bombing which your guest referred to, bombing American soldiers, he's referring to the Marine barracks attacks which took place in 1982. That isn't considered a terrorist attack. There were American Marine soldiers who were occupying Lebanon. striking an occupying force is very, very different from a terrorist attack. When he talks about Hezbollah killing innocent Israelis, Israelis have killed hundreds of civilians in Lebanon and elsewhere. The Qana massacre, I'm sure you remember that, two Qana massacres, 1996, in 2006 as well. So Israel has wreaked havoc. It's conducted massacre after massacre against civilians, whether it be in Lebanon or in Palestine, elsewhere. Hezbollah, when it does respond to the Israeli home front, that has always been a response. It's never been Hezbollah to initiate attacks on civilians. So these claims are false, and I find it also funny that the guests are September 11, which it seems to be, according to some certain classified pages, that the Saudi officials were involved. Saudi officials were involved in those attacks. Saudi officials, or Saudi Arabian ideology, I repeat once again, is responsible for attacks throughout the world, as I said, in Europe, elsewhere. So why do we ignore those vast attacks, all those numerous attacks launched by Wahhabis, and focus on these false allegations that Hezbollah somehow was responsible for Western targets, which once again, I repeat, is completely false?
Well, Richard, the 33-day war was about Israel wanting to disarm Hezbollah, which it obviously did not do. Now, the goal of the Syrian war was to stop Damascus' support for Palestine and to destroy the resistance, which, of course, it still did not do. The significance of both these events in the region, because the goals were not actually met.
Well, that's right, Marzio. Unfortunately, those goals aren't met. It's very difficult to eradicate Nazis like Hezbollah and Nazis like Hamas when they hide themselves and their rockets amongst civilians and children. You know, they put the children and their families and their mothers and their fathers, they put those in front of the rockets.
So Hezbollah, who was fighting Daesh, so let me just get this straight. I want to get your terminology. So Hezbollah, who was fighting Daesh, who was fighting al-Nusra Front, so they are, this group now is called the Nazis because they're fighting terrorism.
Yes, they're Nazis because they want to destroy every single Jew in the world. Hassan Nasrallah says that if every Jew in the world gathers in Israel, it would make the job much easier for them. This is Hitler brought back to life. This is Hitler personified. Hassan Nasrallah can't even come out of his bunker. You don't even see him in public because he's so scared that he knows if he's seen in public, Israel would assassinate him. And he is a Nazi. Hitler ended up dead. And Hassan Nasrallah, before very long, will also end up dead, either shot
because the Israelis are quite effective at assassinations. That's what you're telling me. Ali Rizzi, your take, sir.
Nazi assassinations, yes.
Well, first of all, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah does come out in public. That's just to correct the information of your guest. He has come out in public on numerous occasions after 2006. And he's made speeches, an hour-long speech or 45-minute speech, more than once since 2006. So Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah isn't hiding in a bunker. Once again, you know, what the guest is saying basically is just a repetition of Israeli claims. You know, it's just as if Benjamin Netanyahu or Mohammed bin Salman is speaking. You know, I prefer that one would focus on the facts. What are the facts? Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah never said that he wanted to destroy every single Jew in the world. You know, I've been following these speeches for a long time. I've never heard such a statement. And Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah has even, by the way, just for your guest's information, Hezbollah officials have met with Jews who have come from America. Jewish delegations from America visiting Lebanon have met with Hezbollah. And, you know, have sat down, had meals with Hezbollah. That's information I personally know. So I think that clearly contradicts what your guest is saying, that somehow Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah or Hezbollah are out to get all of the Jews. You know, this is just attempt to try and demonize Hezbollah. And I think, your guest is a clear, outright supporter of Israel and Saudi Arabia, actually more of a supporter than many Americans themselves are, because I've discussed this with many American people, even some who are sympathetic to Israel, and I've never heard such language, which is so close to the line adopted by the Israeli leadership.
Okay, well, Richard, now Israel has recently displayed its latest military equipment and says it's more ready now than ever to win a war. Do you think that the Israeli regime is really confident that it can win any war in the region, and does Tel Aviv want another war?
No, it's Jerusalem is where the government of Israel is situated, and the Israeli government doesn't want any war with anyone. It doesn't want to lose its own children. You know, Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah has stated that Jews are descended from pigs and dogs, or pigs and apes. This is the language of Hassan Nasrallah. He demonizes Jewish people all over the world, which means why Jewish people have to have security in every single country that they are, on their synagogues, on their schools, on their community centres, because of this language of this Hitler-type figure that Jews should be murdered. So Israel doesn't want to have a war. No one wants to have a war. The only people who want to have a war is the theological wedding of Hezbollah, believing that no Jewish person should exist.
One minute left. Ali Riz, your final comments.
Well, I agree with that point which was made just now, that Israel doesn't want a war, but I'll say why Israel doesn't want a war, because it can't launch a war right now, because victory isn't at all guaranteed. It knows that it will pay a hefty price if it launches a war. I'd also like to remind your guest of the fact that in all previous wars, it was Israel which initiated the war, not Hezbollah which initiated these wars. So, you know, but that's basically the history of this confrontation. And once again, you know, your guest keeps making these false allegations about Hezbollah being anti-Jewish, despite the fact that there is no proof to support these claims. So I think that your guest should go back maybe and check the credibility of the information before coming on air and making such statements.
Okay, and on that note, I appreciate both of you. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thanks to Ali Riz, political analyst out of Beirut, and Richard Miller, journalist out of London, for being with us. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. See you next time. Goodbye.